A Sunday school class of fourth graders was studying the Ten Commandments. After several weeks of discussion on the different commandments, they finally got to the day when they were going to discuss the last one. And the teacher asked if anybody knew what the last tenth commandment was. An excited girl named Susie stood and raised her hand high and proclaimed, "Thou shalt not take the covers off your neighbor's wife." I had to share that with you. I read it and just laughed. Oh, from the mouths of babes. But seriously, folks, there's a woman in Borough Park, New York, that every time she hears the doorbell ring, thinks it's another client. You see, she averages about 75 clients a month, all of which are, or most of which are referred to her by the school system of New York. This time it's a mother and daughter. They appear nervous and somewhat embarrassed. But Mrs. Rosenfield quickly puts them at ease. "Don't worry," she says. "I've done this many times before." The little girl sits down and Rosenfield, armed with an apron, a comb, and a tube of hair conditioner, starts to work combing, shampooing, massaging, and then combing again the little girl's hair. This is no ordinary hair salon, mind you. Rosenfield's skills lie in an entirely different direction than just hairdos. Can you guess what it is? Yes, I know you're thinking it, but you don't want to say it. Rosenfield is the lice lady of New York. She's a nitpicker. She's looking for head lice. She even has a business card that says so. This is true. Lice consultant, heads checked and cleaned. Total clean outs, usually in less than an hour. Satisfaction guaranteed. This is for real. This lady really exists. Rosenfield is famous among New York City public and private school nurses. Why, when any head is found to be infected with lice, they call her. You're probably wondering what it's like to be the lice lady. Well, for one thing, she's never short in business. There always seems to be some kid running around with lice. We don't know where those things come from, but they seem to always find kids in school. And she's always got great stories to tell. Like the one about the father who marched his two little ones into her apartment and sat them down on a chair and angrily announced, "Everything on them has got to be dead because my wife just sprayed them with Raid." You know, the things people do to their kids. She has had parents that have come to her that have smeared their infected children with Vaseline, kerosene, mayonnaise, olive oil, margarine. They've used Nix and Ridge shampoos and shaved their kids' heads bald. And still the lice persists. The nitpicker, as she's known, uses none of these drippy, greasy, stinky, or nasty techniques. She just uses generous drops of ordinary hair conditioner. Just ordinary hair conditioner. You see, the conditioner immobilizes those little creepy crawlies, and it loosens the grip on their offspring, I guess you'd call them. Next, she gently works a special comb through the child's hair. Hers is a quick and tearless process for all concerned. Imagine a lot better than having kerosene poured on you. Can't imagine. The art of finding nits or nitpicking has also come to be associated with those who stress and fuss over apparently insignificant details. Living with a nitpicker can be annoying and exasperating. Say a word, Janine. This is sometimes how we feel about God, though, too. And that list he's given us called the Ten Rules. Not to mention how the Hebrews must have felt when they were made responsible for not 10, but 613 rules. Who can keep track of that many rules? We have a hard enough time just keeping after the 10. I'll tell you. God can keep track of all those rules because God is the great nitpicker. He's making our lives miserable, making unnecessary demands, having unfathomable expectations. You know, that sounds like some people I know too. Oh well, that's another story. Our lament of frustration over these demands and expectations from God probably goes something like this. You know, we've all cried out to Him in frustration. Maybe it sounds a little bit like this. See what you think. Oh God, I'm so tired. Aren't I a good person? Don't I give to the church and help old ladies across the street? So I covet my neighbor's wife. Just look at her. Wouldn't anybody? Don't touch. Just look. That's not enough. So what if I work to live and live to work? What difference does it make as long as I remember you when the offering plate comes around, Lord? And who cares if I go to the office 5 days a week and nights too and weekends also? The Sabbath? I'm too busy for the Sabbath. I'm just trying to get ahead in the world. Wrong with that, Lord? Who needs a rest anyways? The children are fine without me. Besides, I provide for the kids. They have everything they want. My mother and father? Sure, I honor them. But you don't actually expect me to go visit them in the nursing home, do you? Are you such a nitpicker, God? Lord, I haven't killed anyone. Not really, anyway. I thought about it, sure. We all do. I know that sometimes my business decisions haven't always had a positive effect on other people. That's life. You gotta take the good with the bad, right? They'll survive. What was it Jesus said about intentions of the heart? I don't know. I'm not a bad person, though, Lord. I haven't committed adultery. I mean, especially if you apply Clintonian semantics to it. I don't really steal, although my tax returns take advantage of some loopholes, even a few loopholes that aren't even really there. But everybody does it, right? Yes, Lord, you're right. I do covet my neighbor's new riding mower with the greater attachment, a sun cover, a beer holder, and GPS, onboard GPS. Doesn't everyone want to have a mower like that? And yes, I'd love to have a second house on the beach. But who wouldn't? Lord, have I ever taken your name in vain? Have I ever said your name wrongly? Yeah, okay. Sometimes. But only when I'm really frustrated and angry. Like when my wife backed her car into the fence pole at work. But I didn't really mean it. Details. Details. Lord, just take a look at the big picture. I'm a good person, honest. Just don't look too closely at the details of my life. Please, God, not the details. Well, no doubt, we've all had thoughts like these. We've all had times when we've cried out to God with things like this. We've all wished for, wanted for, yearned for, dreamed of, and desired what we shouldn't. Maybe we've even snatched a few drops of life that we shouldn't have. In short, maybe there's something that we're sorry for now that we did at one time. Well, God does look at the details, all the details of every life, yours and mine. But human life is made up of a long string of fine points with one following the other. We need to examine ourselves, paying close attention to the details in our lives, God pays attention to them, and so should we. Unfortunately, too many of us prefer to pay attention to the details in other people's lives instead of our own. You know, Jesus had a point when he was trying to convince us to remove the nits from our own heads before we pick the nits off of others. Of course, he didn't say it exactly that way. I'm paraphrasing. God isn't trying to make us miserable, or at least not in the way that we think. You see, each of the commandments not only helps us to stay with Him, stay right with Him, they also help us to order our society in the here and now. They help us to take a Sabbath break with our family. You see, if we didn't have the Ten Commandments to tell us that, we probably wouldn't. We'd probably just keep on working, doing, forget to take a break. But they help us to remember to take a break and a rest with our family. They teach us that life isn't only about success, or who has the prettiest wife, or the most square feet in a house, or the shiniest bicycle. The Ten Commandments teach us that God is the reason for our being. And that if we focus on Him, if we focus on the Ten Commandments, we'll be less likely to encounter the worst kind of troubles that are out there in the world today. I want you to take a minute and look at the Ten Commandments again. That's what we read this morning in Exodus. And I wanted to point out something to you. The Ten Commandments are all about having a relationship, how to have a relationship. If you look at the first three, and I'll just read them off for you. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. And remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Those first four are what guides us in a relationship between us and God. Those have to do with our relationship with God. How we're supposed to have that relationship. How it's supposed to work. What we're supposed to do to have that relationship. The other six have to do with how our relationship with each other is supposed to happen. Just want to point that out. So when we break it down like that, we can see it's really not that difficult. Some of the commandments tell us how we're supposed to treat each other. The other commandments tell us how we're supposed to treat God. Not too difficult, really. Bottom line is we need to pay attention to the details. Just like Mrs. Rosenfield does. When she goes hunting lice and nits, she takes a simple and successful approach. Her success is based on the ability to get down to the nitty-gritty. Folks, that's what we need to do in our lives. That's what the Ten Commandments is calling us to do. Just to get down to the nitty-gritty in our lives. To take the Ten Commandments, put it here, put our lives beside it and say, okay, where have I got problems? Where am I not quite hitting the mark? We've got to get to the nitty-gritty. If we don't, we're going to have problems. The nitty-gritty are the things that we think, well, that's not really hurting anybody. That's not too bad. Everybody does it. You know, we all know those things. We all have those little nitty-gritty nitpicking things in our lives. And God is saying, I'm looking at them. You need to be looking at them too and cleaning them up. Rosenfield uses obvious tools and a gentle touch. That's all we need too. See, we have obvious and useful tools right here to help us get to the nitty-gritty, do the nitpicking that we need to do. And we've been given a gentle touch in the Gospels. These tools easily get at the details of life's most troubling conditions. We all have things we need to work through. We all have areas that we need to improve on. And this right here can help us. Jesus took the Ten Commandments and summed them up for us. He took the whole ten and he says, well, you know, my brothers and sisters are having a hard time hanging on to the whole Ten Commandments, so I'm going to condense them, give them the Reader's Digest version of it. So he said, love the Lord your God above all things, and love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple, and that basically covers everything in the Ten Commandments. Even better, though, it's not three details we have to take care of God, neighbor, and self. It's only one, love. When you boil it all down, when you look at the Ten Commandments and boil it all down like Jesus did, it's only one nitpicking rule we got to worry about, and that's love. We look at our lives, we examine it with the fine glasses or run through it with a fine comb, looking for the nits, and everywhere we find a place in our life where love doesn't abound, where love wasn't the primary key, that's where we have a problem we need to clean up. So God took us from the Hebrew time when they had 600 and something to New Testament time when they had 10. And then Jesus Christ said, we're going to make it easier than that. Love. We may encounter 1,000 troubles in our lives, nipping and biting at us. We may feel that our whole lives are infested with obsessions, troubling desires. But we can condition our souls in Christ. Christ is like that, may not be a very good analogy, but I'll go with it anyways, since we're using it. Christ is like the tube of hair conditioner that the nitpicker uses. You know, our lives are rough and got problems, and when we bring Christ into our lives, when we accept Him with our whole heart and begin to put Christ first in our lives, begin to spend time with Him in prayer, it massages our lives, it cleans us, makes us whole, helps us get our act back together. That's what Christ is all about. And He does it without tears, very gently. See, the beauty is Christ has already done the hard part. Christ has already taken the pain and the suffering. When we accept Him into our lives, we don't have to worry about pain anymore. Christ just comes into us, just cleans us, just gives us a refreshing, calm, new perspective, new life. Brings us at one with our God. So the question is, are you ready to start nitpicking your life for God? Are you ready to start going through and finding out where love isn't the center of something and cleaning it up? It's not going to be fun. None of us like to go back and look and say, "Phew, wish I hadn't done that way. Boy, I need to go ask for forgiveness for that." None of us like it. Not easy. That's what God is calling us to do. He's given us Christ. Are you ready to start nitpicking for God? Do you pray with me?